All right, all eyes up here, right? My wife is going to turn around and share some stuff today. She's more than excited. She's like chomping at the bit. She's informed me earlier in the week that she had nothing to say.
I don't believe that, Kenny.
Neither did I. And it's interesting because all I got to do is just push a few buttons, just throw out a few statements, and next you know, she is on this trail. And she's blazing it, and she's got, like, you know, notes, post-it notes, pages of notes. She was jotting down things as we were speaking on a piece of paper that did not make sense at all. Upside down, she'd spin it to find another blank space. And I said, oh, so you're going to put all that together to share something? She goes, I'm still not sharing. I'm not saying anything. She feels awkward up here sharing. Correct?
Yes, I do.
And she didn't think I'd call her out for that. But if I have to get out of the boat, my saying is I'm going to push everybody else out. But I am honored to be here today. Honored to be up here to teach, to share with you. I want to share a few things on my heart, and so does my wife. And the title for this year, the theme for this year, is Proclaiming God's Glory. Now, I don't know about you guys, but seeing how that is going to be a yearly theme, like my son Shane, he wanted to know what specifics that included. Well, it includes everything. It includes everything. But for me, I wanted to find a depth to that. How deep does that go? It's a yearly theme. So how deep is this going to go? Where's this going to take us as a church, as a body? Where's it going to take me as an individual, proclaiming God's glory? What does that mean for me? How is that going to reflect and come about in my life for this year? And the title of the message is Taking Possession. I thought of the Israelites and how God had called them out of bondage, like many of us, right? We were in bondage at one time or another. But he called them out of bondage, and he was going to give them the promised land. They were to take possession of that. They were to take back what was stolen from them. There's some of the things and some of the words that have came out is to take back what was stolen from us. And see, God was going to proclaim his glory through the Israelites, going into the promised land and taking that land. Coming against the enemies of God and taking that land. That was God showing his glory through the Israelites. God is desiring, you guys may not catch this, it may have been said, but you're not catching it. God is desiring to show forth his glory.
That's right.
In this body.
That's right.
In these people in this body. Right. It's something that he's wanting to do. It's not something that we have to turn around and try to conjure up. Okay, how am I going to show... This is something that he had planned, something that he is going to fulfill, something he is faithful to do. No matter where you find yourself at in life right now, anybody find themselves in the middle of a storm? Anybody know somebody that's in the middle of a storm? Everybody. If you know somebody, or if you just yourself, you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a challenge, and God is going to show forth his glory. Right? If you choose this day not to do anything more for God, do you think that Satan is going to leave you alone? If you said, listen, I'm not doing nothing more, I'm bowing out, you know, you won. I'm too weary for this fight. Is he going to leave you alone? Not possible. It's not his nature. It says that he first steals from me, but he's looking to kill you. He's looking not just to take you out of the game, out of the race, but he's looking to turn around and put the final blow to you. It's his nature. So there's no reason to turn around and grow weary in that sense. To be robbed from what it is that God has for us. He has an inheritance for us this year. Right? For this year, and that is to proclaim his glory. Now, I don't know about you, but when God proclaims his glory, great things happen. Things happen that were impossible to believe at times. But before that, it says if you believe, you will see the glory of God. First and foremost, we come against the spirit of unbelief. That he is turned around, it's done. It's done, that unbelief, that attack that comes against us, that we can't believe God for more. One of the things that came across my mind this week was, What would happen if you got to heaven? If you got to heaven and you found out that you did not have the walk that you wanted, desired, because you didn't ask for it. That there was more. That you settled for what you had. And that was one of the statements. Do not settle for less than what God has for you. There is no reward in that. Do not settle for less than what God has for you. There is no reward for that. We find ourselves too often settling for less than what God has for us. For less than what God has for others. God has so much for his children. He's a loving father. He has so much for us. And yet, we're going to find ourselves oftentimes settling. Pastor Don wants to settle. Come on, hurry it up.
Oh, sorry.
Now, I was just thinking, you were talking about settling. Once again, I was thinking of, the kids that coach, anybody who's coached or done anything. And it's easy to settle into that mindset. You know, this is all I want. I don't want to advance. Because once you make your mind up that you want to advance and get out of that rut, there's a whole lot of work that's got to be done. There's that tearing down, the destroying of things. That's why, like Jeremiah says, that I've got to tear down, I've got to overthrow, I've got to destroy so that I can build and that I can plant. And I always say this for prayers anyway. You always got to be careful what you pray for. Because what we pray for, we don't realize the process we're going to go through. But I like what you're saying there, Kenny, that let's not settle for the minimal. You know, there's so much more there if we would just believe. And I was kidding Diana earlier in the week. I said, when you begin opening your mouth and proclaiming, you're going to see what God's going to add more to it. And then there's something in you that just says, I want more, God. I want to do this more and more. So it's a road. And when we say, we pray that for our own life, let's not settle for mediocrity. But let's continually push ourselves towards that higher calling where we don't have to turn around and say, well, I wish I'd have done A, B, C, and D. But we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. Absolutely right. We find ourselves, as Pastor Don said, too often settling, too often looking out at the way that things are and saying, well, it's just the way things are. That's just who I am. It's not who God intends you to be today. He wants to carry you forward too in your character, in the things that you do, in the things that you have to do for others. He wants to carry you forth in that. He wants to build upon precept, precept, and precept and continually sanctify us to turn around and be able to do the work that he's called us to do. If he's called us to a work, he's going to enable us to do that work. It is work, but we're not to do it alone, and we definitely don't want to do it apart from God. Because if we do it apart from God, then we're going to grow weary. We're going to grow weary in well-doing because we're doing it apart from God. James talks about our motives. We can ask for things, but we have to have the right motive. It's the motive to bring glory to God in all that we do. In all that we do, we are to bring glory in everything. At our job, in the marketplace, right, in our homes, everywhere you go. There isn't a facet of life that you're not going to touch that you're not able to bring glory to God. And it's amazing how the enemy comes in to rob, steal, and pillage. I was talking with my wife the other day, and we're going on and on and on, and then she, like she says, she hasn't got much to say. Well, after 45 minutes of not saying much, and how she explained to me what God's speaking to her, what he's done for her, and how it was so difficult for her to put into words, 45 minutes of them, right? She managed to put into words. And what this was is, it was a deep thing that she was having trouble explaining, that God was depositing this in her spirit. This isn't just mere words. This is something God wants to deposit in our spirit, something that we can stand upon, a firm foundation, something that's rooted in what he has to say about our lives. not something that we conjure up. It's based on his word. And this is what she was telling me, the things based on his word that he was going to do for her, for us, for you guys, for those whose lives she's touched. She gets all done saying that, right? And she looks at me. Now, mind you, I get up a little early, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning and whatnot, and my eyes might have been a little glazed over, and I'm like, just listening. You know, as husbands, you know that you're supposed to just listen sometimes, not say nothing. I've learned that lesson. So I'm just listening. She goes, oh, my gosh, this is so silly. I can't believe I even told you this stuff. I can't believe I'm even talking about this. This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I should never even. And I was amazed and stood back and I said, okay, so that's how fast the enemy works. To bring doubt, to steal. That fast, just a little bit. Just a look sometimes, not even what somebody says to you to turn around and bring doubt. Sometimes it's just the way somebody looked at you. You don't even know it. It's an assumption. It's in your head. It's a lie. And you begin to doubt. You begin to doubt what God shared, what he's doing. And I explained that to her. I said, listen, that was fast. It followed right after the word. Right after you got done speaking, there was an anointing there. And because of what it is that was being birthed in you, of course the enemy came that quickly to try to steal that, to try to rob you of that, to get it to be like, okay, I'll just keep this to myself. We're not going to put it out there. We're not going to proclaim it. God forbid we proclaim what it is that God is going to be doing, what it is he desires to do. You know, and she caught that, and we begin to pray in the morning. And then she, you know, being silly that it is, if she says something, then she turns around and embarrasses my son. I was just following the lead, you know. He comes to the house, right? And there's some worship music playing early in the morning and whatnot. See, now she's going to wish she said something. Yeah. And after explaining to her that worship came up this morning, didn't it, Donna? Yeah. So we got the worship music on, and we're going to march around the living room. Just like they marched around the walls of Jericho. And we're going to pray for those that find themselves in the storm. You know, and I says, what's it matter? Who cares what we, well, the neighbors probably think we're crazy. I said, but we know we're not. We know the truth. Doesn't matter what it looks like. To an unbelieving world, of course it looks like you're crazy. To an unbelieving world, didn't Jesus look like anything but the Messiah? So what? So we're marching around. Next you know, we got 7 songs we're going to play. No, she didn't know what songs to play. Next thing you know, she didn't give me a chance to play any of my songs. You know, and I thought it'd be fun to turn around and put my army hat on as she was walking. She turned around and looked, and she sees my army hat on. She's like, you're silly. You know, but yet, next thing you know, she grabs my other army hat and puts it on. And this is what our poor kids have to endure in their life. And in our house, when they come down, they're like, we don't know what we're going to find. Donna's got something.
Okay, I was just going to say, because the poor kid, I mean, we're in there, we've got music blasting, and we're walking in circles, and I see Ken stop, and then he's like, and then Jesse's, he's like, come on, you could come walk with us, and he's like, oh, boy.
It's funny because me and Eddie were talking about that very thing, and he said to me, he goes, Donna, what does it matter? The world does what they want to do, so why should you be afraid to do what God's calling you to do? Amen. Or to say, or to, you know, in that moment? So don't worry about what they're thinking. Just do whatever God's telling you to do.
Amen. And it came down to proclaiming what God's going to do, proclaiming the truth, right, Kathy? You know, somebody has a word over them, right? You declare that word. You proclaim that word until you see it come to pass. Not, oh, I did that. Okay, I'm done. No, we're just going to wait.
And the thing with the army hat, you're in the army of God, so it's
Amen.
All good.
Amen. Amen. So we want to proclaim what it is that God's doing Amen. And continuing to do. You can see it. There is such a divisive time in our country right now because the enemy is being pushed back. The lies that come forward day in and day out, you know, you grow weary of it. You're like, I'm just weary of it. I'm not. The more they turn around and try to lie and deceive and bring that, the more that we know we're bringing the truth to the situation. That Ken had just mentioned that there's talk of bringing prayer back into the school systems. That's going to be another push. And we as believers, we as the children of God, we wanting to see the glory of God brought back into that situation, right? We've seen it ourselves with the school across the street. There was a time when we weren't welcomed. Now these kids come here, right? And my wife said that there was only a few of the kids that were here, a remnant. There was only 10 or 11 this last time. Are we praying for them? Because these things happen when people pray, when God's people pray. I had read in all the articles that I was reading and whatnot, and trying to dig deep, not just the servicing, not just hearing something on a Sunday, but during the week, digging deep into this, proclaiming the glory of God. And Anthony's not here, but you could attest to this, that there is a window of resistance over there in the Arab world of reaching the people. There's a resistance there. They call it the 1040 window or something like that. That it's very hard to turn around and evangelize there. Anybody guess as to why? They have mosques there, and this is just something I read, but it really intrigued me. They have mosques there that they have people that get up and they proclaim five times every day, twice a day, about Allah. And how Allah is going to turn around and do this and do that. Nonstop. It becomes thousands and thousands of proclamations being made, and it's just not a whisper. I believe we're supposed to boldly proclaim the glory of God. It's not a whisper. They boldly proclaim this. And it's been going on for years and years and years and years. And you can see that there's a resistance because of that. Whereas we, as Americans, being blessed, can barely get out of bed to proclaim anything. And then we wonder why it seems like we're living this life of being beat down, defeated, and the things that God's called us to do. How many here feel victorious this morning? All right, we got two. That's a start, right? Where two or three are gathered in my name. And then you want to maintain that victory. And it's only through the presence of God that we can maintain that victory. You have to turn around and be in the presence of God. You have to make the time to be in the presence of God. This isn't enough. I'm sorry. It's nice to come together once a week with my brothers and sisters in Christ and for us as a community, as a body, to get together and to truly press into the presence of God. But it's not enough to sustain you through the week. It was never his intention that we see him once a week. You don't build a good relationship with somebody seeing him once a week. You don't. You don't know them if you don't spend the time with them. And we are to know him through his word. What does his word have to say about a situation that you find yourself in today? Have you started saying, what does your word have to say about this situation? What does his word have to say about going to school? About your destiny, your future? What does that word say? Because when all things come against you, when you want to attempt to do that, and they will, what are you going to stand upon? You said that I am the head, not the tail. That all things are possible for those who seek after you with their whole heart. Do you want to say anything?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, go ahead. I don't want to take all your time off.
You're fine. I thought you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I do. So we as believers, we are to show forth the glory of God. That was being done this morning in prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer is one of the ways that you can show forth the glory of God. That you can proclaim the glory of God. That you can come before him and proclaim the glory of God. There was at least 11 of us up there praying. As you heard me say before, 11, come on now. 11? And you want to see the glory of God? You want to proclaim the glory of God? You got to partake in the proclamation of the glory of God. You got to put yourself in that place of seeing that, of proclaiming that, of listening to others proclaim the glory of God. I didn't even pray out loud. You don't even have to pray out loud, but you hear the glory of God being proclaimed when others are up there. You hear what God's doing, what he's saying, what he's wanting to do for individuals in this body, what he's wanting to do for individuals in the government, what he's wanting to do for individuals outside of this church. Because that's the proclamations that are going forth. It isn't just for ourselves. Let's not be selfish and think it's all about us. There's a future out there, not just for us, but for others. Right? Right, Kevin? Is there a future for your grandson? Is there a future for his kids?
Yep.
And that's dependent on Kevin and Kim proclaiming that future. It's not just about them. It's about the future of others that are going to come after us. How do we know that? Because thank God somebody had a proclamation and they wrote it down, right? Because of the time that they spent with Christ. And we were able to turn around and read from that, that it becomes a living, active sword that cuts through all the baloney. And speaks truth to our lives.
Amen.
We need to know and for sure know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
We are not perfected yet. Nobody is. But by golly, we are on our way. We're heaven bound.
Amen.
Right? We have every reason to rejoice.
Amen.
In the midst of our situation.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he chose us to be his people. He chose us to be his sons and daughters. He chose not only us. Right? Because he wasn't looking just to us. He was looking down that road that you, your family, your family's family, that we have another grandbaby on the way. And already we're praying for him and we're praying for his family. That this isn't going to end. This is just the beginning of it just continuing for his kingdom to be built. And for them to have and see the fullness thereof. That we will lay the foundation. We will do the work so that they can stand upon it, just like David. David was a man after God's own heart. David spent his life fighting. Fighting so that Solomon didn't have to. We don't want to spend our life fighting, so we don't fight. So who's going to fight? My kids, my grandkids, they're going to have to fight. They're going to fight the battle that I was called to fight. Because I chose not to.
That's right.
I chose not to get in this fight, to really give it all. You need to be all in when it comes to this fight. If you're going to be half-hearted when it comes to this fight, then you're going to get knocked down, beat up, whatnot. But if you give it all in, all your heart, you get knocked down, what are you going to do? You're going to jump right back up. You're going to jump right back up. There's too much at stake. What's at stake? God's glory. And it's worth dying for.
When he first started talking to me about this, he asked me what I thought we should talk about. And it was funny, I had something different on my mind. But
I corrected her.
But I, you know, he started talking about proclaiming again. And, you know, to me, you know, I guess maybe I would just do it differently. You know, I'm not a loud, you know, in the street kind of person, you know, with a bullhorn, you know, giving a proclamation. That's not usually how I am. But so I started looking things up because that's what I do. And actually, proclamation is to blare and broadcast and publicize and sound a trumpet and extol and glorify. And so I had to find a place where those things get done. And so he was talking about David and when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back, he was excited. You know, he danced in the streets. And he gave a proclamation, something that he wanted done every single day from that point. He appointed people to actually give that proclamation every day. You know, and it's really long. You know, so if you can, like, indulge me for just a second, you know.
2 weeks. Two weeks long.
No, not 45 minutes. says, give thanks to the Lord. And the thing about that is, that's what we should be doing always, is giving thanks to the Lord. Because no matter what else is going on, you know, sometimes we want to talk to people and pray for them about their marriage, or pray for them about their finances, or pray for them about their health. But when our focus stays on the Lord, when our vision is on Him, and we give all glory and thanks to Him, all the other things fall to the wayside. Because as we delight in Him, He gives us the desires of our heart. We don't have to worry about all the other things. It's not that we don't need to work on problem solving or relationship issues. It's not any of that. But when we quit looking at ourselves all the time and keep our eyes focused on the Lord, all those things melt away. Known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done. Remember. Bring awareness. Recall. Recollect all that He has done. I say all the time, remind me, Lord. Because when you start getting into this slump or this dump or whatever you think is happening around you, I need reminding of what good things God has done for me already. Far more than I deserve. Far more than I could ever deserve. His miracles, His judgments that He's pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servants. O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. He remembers His covenants forever. The word He commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant He made with Abraham. The oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed to Jacob as a decree. A decree. A legal authority. That came down from kings. Those decrees came from kings. And I could go on. Go to Genesis 15, talks about covenants. That's where they start. There are many. There were five. I think four original, like Mosaic and Noah, and there was a couple more, and came to the new covenant in Jesus Christ. So you can, I'm not going to do all that because I did that already. So, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac, He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan. As a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it. And that's what we were talking about. It doesn't matter if there's just a few of us.
Yeah, that's right.
We talked about Gideon. You know, there were only 300 of them. You know, David was just one young boy. I mean, we can't get stuck in, well, there's not that many of us.
Only need one God.
That's right. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake, He rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him in all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and that all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, and that we may glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. And those were the things that God was speaking to me, because when the presence of God came back, they were excited and they were rejoicing. And we need to rejoice in the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. But this is something you have to catch. It's not something that you have to just hear. You have to allow it to be deep in your spirit. isn't it like, well, that's for them. That's for Deb and Ken. That's for Kevin and Kim. But you don't know my situation. You don't know the things I've been through. You don't know the things that are coming against me. God does. And he's still asking you to proclaim his glory in the midst of that. Proclaim his glory. He continues to go above and beyond when it comes to our lives and doing things for us. It's not that we don't go through life and experience loss and pain and grief. And it's not that our sins don't have consequences. Anybody here have sinned that didn't have consequences? Yet he's still bestowed mercy upon us. In the midst of those consequences, in the midst of that, he gives us Jesus Christ as our Savior to cover us. That's our righteousness. It's within him. It's such an honor to be able to gather here today. And we need to have that reverence that when we go down into that sanctuary as his people, that we can turn around and focus on him, as my wife was saying. Focus on giving thanks, because you can't even recollect all that he's done for you. If you go back in the pages of this Bible from the very beginning, he created us for his glory. He created you for his glory. That we wouldn't even realize that had it not been for him. The air that we breathe, in the midst of it, the air we breathe, that everybody has taken a breath here today because of him. We have that opportunity to truly worship him, to honor him, to extol him, to proclaim his glory in the past and what he's done, and his glory for the future. That we have a future in this country, in spite of everything that the enemy throws at us through the news. This country has a future. How do I know that? Because we're here. We're this country's future. It's us, boldly proclaiming the glory of God. If we weren't here and we were in some other country, then that country has a future. This world has a future. In that the glory of God is going to go forth. Do we want to take part in that? In spite of where we find ourselves, we have that opportunity that no matter what. And now, I understand that we have this culture, and it may be counter to the culture to do the things that we do as God's people. It says that the things that we do, that we, if we get up early and we put on that music and we begin to study, and then when we're sitting down, we're talking about the word and going over what God's showing us, and lifting up different people in the body and praying for them and seeing what God has for them, and proclaiming that. That may not look like what the world does. The world is usually about itself, taking care of itself, wanting its own needs met. How many here want their needs met? Start praying for somebody else's. Start praying for somebody else's. Right? God knows you need your needs met. And he's willing to not only meet your needs, but your desires. Start helping somebody else, serving somebody else. Right? Word of reflect God's glory. Right? She needs a mic. Huh? Somebody raise your hand? All right. We need to reflect God's glory. If you stood in front of a mirror and you looked in that mirror, do you see Jesus Christ? Do you get a glimpse of him? My wife says she gets a glimpse and then it's gone in a second when she sees me. But I can move in and out of the spirit and warp speed. You know? And that's the question. When we're looking in that mirror, because I'm a reflection of Christ to whoever's looking at me. Or am I? Am I reflecting the glory of God? Moses reflected the glory of God so much they put a veil over his face. Why was that? He spent 40 days with them. 40 days. How much glory are you going to reflect if you spend 5 minutes? You can spend 5 minutes, if your heart's right, with God and reflect his glory very well. But if your heart's not right, you can spend 40 days and not reflect his glory at all. We have to get our hearts right. We have to remain humble. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that God, right? We're going to close. We're going to pray. God, I pray that you just get our hearts right with you, Lord God. Father, if there's anything that come between us and you, Lord God, this day, this time, Father, you bring it to our remembrance, Father God, and that we, Father God, repent, Father God. Repentance, Father God, is reflecting your glory, Father God, because we come to you with repentance, Father God, not to anybody else, Father God, but first and foremost, we've sinned against you, Father God. And we repent, Father God, for anything that's come between us, Father God, as your people, as your children, Father God. And Father, that we would turn around and come back to you, Father God, with our whole hearts, with our minds, Father God. Even though we may think that we have, Father God, there are areas in our lives that we haven't given over to you yet. We haven't yet taken possession of, Lord God, that we find ourselves on so many different fronts. But, Father, in reality, there's only the one, Father God. And that is that we need to submit to you, Father God, to your authority, Father God. By submitting to your authority, there again, we are proclaiming your glory, Father God. Father, that we would submit to your authority, Father God, and all that we do, Father God. By even praying, Father God, we are reflecting your glory, Father God. And then by serving, Father God, one another, Father God, serving, Father God, just like with breakfast this morning, we thank you, Father God, for the hands that prepared it, Father God. That is reflecting your glory, Father God. Father, for they've gotten up early, they have worked diligently, Father God, time and time again. And Father, even that, Father God, may be a thankless job, Father God. That a lot of times there's just nobody to help, Father God. Nobody, it's just a matter of coming and feasting, Father God, and partaking, Father God, and forgetting that somebody took and put all the work in, Father God, for us to be able to do that. We thank you for Donna, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, Father God. We thank you that that would continue because we've grown to like that blessing, Father, that you send more, Father God. And Father, just like that, Lord God, that we reflect your glory by serving, Father God. Because we serve the Master, Father God. It's just us that get blessed by that, Father God. Father, we come before you and we pray for all human life, Father God, for the unborn, Father God. We lift them up, Father God, because we respect that, Father God, that life begins with you, Father God. Not just physical, but spiritual, Father God. And Father, there are yet those that are going to be birthed spiritually, Father God, in this body. We've been praying for those, Father God, to come to know you, Father God. Salvation, Father God. Salvation proclaims your glory, Father God. Father, I pray that you fill this sanctuary with people, Father God, that have come to know you, Father God, that are coming to know you, Father God. That we be obedient and attentive to discern, Father God, those that we work with, those that we shop with in the stores, Father God, that you have a word for them. You have something to say, Father God, and that you want to use us to boldly proclaim your glory, Father God. It's just about telling them that our testimony, Father God, and what you've done for us already, Lord God, as a people. And Father, we lift up this community, Father God, and the communities that we live in, Father God. We live and come from all different communities, Father God. We pray for our community. We pray for those on our block, Father God. We pray for our neighbors, Father God. Our neighbors, Father God. That we need to love them, Father God. We need to serve them in a way, Father God, that they see God's glory. They see something different. Just as we were circling that living room, Father God, worshiping, Father God. Let the neighbors see, Father God, the glory of God in our lives when they look at us, just like Moses, Father God. Let them see that glory, Father God. We just want to reflect your glory to this world, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father God, we thank you and we give it all to you as we go down there to worship, to praise you, Father God, to hear your word, Father God. Let it go deep within our spirit, Father God. Let it not just fall on top, Father God, of the and be stolen, Father God, but let it go deep, Father God. We refuse to allow the enemy to come in and steal what it is that you have for us, what it is that you're wanting to do. We refuse to allow the enemy to steal the vision that you have for this body and proclaiming your word, Father God, proclaiming your glory, Father God. It is our inheritance as this body, Father God, to see your glory being proclaimed, Father God, in the lives of those that attend here, Father God, and the lives, Father God, of those that we know, Father God. And let it not be taken, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We have prayer down front.